Good evening, squirrels.
Hi, everybody.
We should probably like appoint someone to you know, open the show. Yeah, just have it rotate or something.
Yeah, we're a little discombobulated because I had a power outage here.
I'm over here in my Rain Man like stupor going, yeah, it's after 8 o'clock. After 8 o'clock, definitely need to start the report. Yeah, definitely need to start
the report. Yeah. I was all ready to have the night off. I was like on the couch with the cat and you know.
Oh, I still have a giant bourbon. I mean, get me wrong.
Did Ty complain when you had got up?
No, he's very tired today, so he just wants to nap. Oh, okay. He had a long week.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a...
Because
you were out. What?
I was in Texas last week, and Mike stayed home. Mike had a staycation, and so, of course, you know, the cat feels like he needs to supervise everybody, you know.
And he does.
I mean, he does. Yeah, he does a good job, but, you know, it's exhausting taking care of us humans, apparently.
There's hairless apes need to be reminded of everything.
Yeah.
Dear Lord. I could go as long as 3 hours without fresh food. What is this? I would like a refund, please.
Oh, God, I can see the bottom of the food dish.
So I had a great time in Texas. Thank you, Alan. Yeah. It was a good visit. Saw less stuff, ate less food.
We had brisket.
Yeah. Oh, I did have brisket. I had a little brisket, but I went, should we talk about the rib?
Sure, why not?
Was this like a brontosaurus, like in the
Flintstones? Yeah. It's one of those beef ribs.
When the Flintstones, you know, when Fred Flintstone comes walking out with that giant
on the top of his car,
on the top of the car, that's what this was.
Over.
Oh God, Alan is lucky to have like one of the best barbecue places, like right in his city, and every Saturday, I guess they only have the ribs on Saturdays, right?
Right. Well, they have ribs, so, but the big rib, the big giant.
The big beef rib is only on Saturdays. And so we thought, oh, okay, we'll get there around the time they open or whatever. And we looked online and they opened 11. We thought, okay, well, you know. And when we got there a little bit before 11, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
and we got there.
Maybe 15 till.
Yeah, quarter till or something. But we got there and there was already like people waiting. And what they do is they have 26 numbers. And if you get there early enough, you can get a number. And you're like in the first group of people who are allowed to go in the restaurant and order. And then if you don't have a number, then there's the line starts. And we were third in line of the people without a number. And what you said that you... One guy said he got there at 10.
Yeah, the guy said he got there at 10 and got one of the last numbers. So,
yeah. So people really like your barbecue. But and I was really scared because I'm thinking, "Oh man, like we're never going to get a rib. We don't have a number." But then I realized not everybody orders a rib. For some reason in my head, I was thinking everybody's going to order a rib and there's going to be no more ribs left, but that was not the case. So I did get my rib, and it was amazing. I let Alan have some, and I kind of regretted it. Because I was like, I can eat this whole thing by myself.
It was like I could have. It was a pound and a half rib. Okay,
I could have eaten the whole thing myself.
Pound
I didn't have breakfast.
Pound and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just saying.
And?
It was a big rib.
Yeah, it was a big rib, but I could have eaten it. And it was amazing. And there's, you know what? Even their side dishes are amazing. Really, really good. And if anybody's wondering, it's the Corkscrew Barbecue in Spring, Texas. And it is so, so good. But get there early, apparently, because they sell out. And when they sell out, they close the restaurant.
I only have one question, Brita.
Yeah.
How's their hummus?
Their hummus is made of meat.
Yeah, it's a meat hummus. Right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I really think I like their rib better than Black's rib. Black is famous for their big giant rib. And they're really both very good. And it's probably like, you know, a matter of taste, you know, your own personal preference. But I think that Black's rib is like really heavy on the smoke. And it's like every bite is like loaded with that smoke flavor. And then Corkscrew is a little bit lighter on the smoke, kind of. It kind of didn't taste as, smoky. You know, as a little. Yeah, it was, yeah. I mean, it was still smoky, obviously, but not as heavy, kind of. So
it was damn good.
It was damn good. So, yeah.
And so that now, was Saturday.
Why?
What, Jay?
What?
Now I'm hungry. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, really, really good. And their side dishes are good. I got coleslaw and Alan got beans. Those are both good. And the brisket is good. You know, you can't go wrong. So
I've heard they have good sausage, too, but I wouldn't know.
Yeah, sausage.
Yeah,
I don't care about sausage. I'm a therapist. Sausage.
Don't go to you don't go to a Texas barbecue place for sausage. Really.
No, I don't. I mean, I'm sure people do. Yeah. You know, but not me. I'm there for the brisket.
That it's theoretically possible you could get tired of eating delicious brisket or rib all the time, but
I don't think so.
I'll. It's theoretically possible.
It kind of like hits every trigger in your brain, you know. So you got the meat, and it's soft, and it's smoky, and it's salty, and it's juicy and fatty, and it's like it triggers all those happy brain chemicals, you know. Brisket. We have nothing even remotely similar to that in Ohio, so.
Yeah, but you got.
I also feel like I have to visit Houston at least once a year to desensitize myself to traffic, highway traffic.
Yeah.
Because it is intense, man. But by the end of the week, I'm like, all right, it's fine. So somebody cut in front of you like within inches of your bumper, but that's fine. Everybody's fine.
I've seen Brita in traffic. It's bright. I was truly scared.
Because of my wrath?
The threats of monkey, imminent monkey not dead.
Oh, God. Yeah, but so Houston was good. Thanks, Alan.
Awesome. You're good welcome. Job, Alan.
Yep. Oh, and we saw the Van Gogh exhibit at the art museum.
That looked wonderful.
It was amazing. The Van Gogh exhibit, they had like over 50 works of, you know, Vincent Van Gogh, and they had a whole exhibit of like, you know, art from, you know, throughout his life, you know, and it was really cool. So anyway, enough of my rant. I'm still kind of tired from my trip. I had like the most disastrous flight experience on Tuesday. And I didn't get home until like 2 a.m. because it was like on every step of the way of the trip, like every time, it's just like every step of the way something went wrong. Like there was like a delay, and then they were working on the plane, and then they put people on the plane, and they took people off the plane, and then the people going to Cleveland had to like switch flights, and then they switched my flight twice. First I was going to Nashville, and then I missed the Nashville one, and then I had to go to Chicago, and then I get on the plane to go to Chicago, you know, and it's running late already, and I'm on the plane and we didn't take off for at least an hour and a half. And then in the air in Chicago, they're like calling Chicago trying to have them hold the flights, like the connecting flights, because everybody's missing flights. And then I had to run to my gate in Chicago because my flight was supposed to take off at 10:10 and I landed in Chicago at 10:15. So I'm like, you know, running for the plane, and then I get on the plane and we sit there for 45 minutes. So it was just like one thing after another. Tuesday was not a good day. So kind of... Jay, you fly a lot. Do you have that happen?
I have that happen all the time.
All the time? Is it like a regular, like, they just fuck up all the time, or what?
I think it's gotten worse.
Yes, it definitely
didn't. It didn't used to be this bad. I mean,
correct.
What changed?
I don't know, but I used to fly a lot 10, 15 years ago, and I mean, I was flying. I mean, there was a time where I was on a flight. You know, I was on the American Airlines Platinum. I mean, I had millions of miles, and I maybe missed a flight twice, and both times it was because of weather. You know, and now it's like constantly. It's always like mechanical problems. It's like they're running. They're running on the fine line, on the fine edge of, you know, everything's stretched so thin, trying to eke out profit everywhere they go. And when something breaks, there's no slack in the system and it just fucks everything up.
So. Yeah, it's rare when a flight goes off as planned. That's the whole thing. It is a rarity, like a unicorn.
Yeah.
That, you know, I hate taking connecting flights.
Yeah.
Oh, I refuse to do it. I take
flights.
I take nonstops. I just pay extra for it.
Guarantee if there's a connecting flight, one of the two, either coming or going or both,
yeah,
will get fucked.
Oh yeah, that's almost guaranteed now. It's crazy.
Yeah, and it goes anywhere from, oh shit, I literally have 10 minutes to get from one end of Houston to the other.
Yeah.
To well, my connecting flight left half an hour ago, so I don't think I'm going to make that one.
Right.
Right.
It's at the point where I don't even panic when flights get, you know, when I miss flights. It's like, well, they'll figure something out.
Yeah, and I guess fortunately, unless the way I understand it is, if it's a weather delay, you're on your own. They won't make any effort to help. They'll just reschedule you like for the same flight tomorrow or something.
Yeah.
But if it's a mechanical problem or their screw up or something like that, they're liable for big, you know, if they leave you stranded because of their screw up, that's not an act of God, then they're liable for a whole bunch of like remediation and stuff like that. So they, like in Brita's case, they changed planes twice and it was a big clusterfuck, but at least they got her home and she didn't have to spend the night in, you know, Chicago or something.
The Chicago airport.
Yeah.
Holding on to my carry-on of frozen meat.
I will say Delta is probably the best because they have an app. And like, I took a Delta flight down to Florida and we're connecting in Atlanta. And the flight that left out of Dulles had mechanical issues that were, there was airplane fuel smell in the entire
plane. Whoops.
Okay, let's not take that. So the flight was initially delayed 6 hours, which put it beyond the making the connecting flight in Atlanta. And like, I opened up the app and it had already, you know, bloop, it had already selected potential other flights. And I wound up only being like an hour and a half late overall.
Oh.
Did have a half an hour connection in Atlanta instead of 2 hours, which was interesting. It involved, you know, much hurrying. But yeah,
Atlanta's a big airport to get across.
Was it Atlanta that's got the weird like internal monorail that runs around the top?
Yeah. Well, okay. They a lot of them have it. Houston has one. Atlanta, if I remember right, Atlanta's got that long ass thing that runs because it's the airport is so huge that you literally can't walk from one terminal to another. You have to get on the train
You have to go outside of the domes and risk dying. Go out to land. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you know, and it kind of pissed me off. You know, remember back in the old days. You're old enough to remember this, Jay. when you were flying, when you were taking somebody to the airport or picking somebody up. Oh, and yeah. you could just waltz through this metal detector and go stand at the gate or whatever. And
oh hell yeah! I remember bringing a buddy to the airport. It was what the hell was he doing? I think he was flying out to a college tour, and his flight was at like 6 a.m. It was like ridiculously early, so we just stayed up all night, and drove him down to Logan, And went in, you know, we were there like an hour early and, you know, went in and got coffee and walked them to the gate. We were sitting and, you know, joking. And they soon, you know, they finally called the boarding and, yep. you know, bye and went home.
Right.
But it's like now it's, you know, you can like drop them off at basically at the count, the ticket counter, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really all you can do.
It's made, you know, Alan, I'm sure you can empathize. When you've got kids, you know, like I would love to, you know, my kids want to go up to MAP for the summer, you know, and if I could walk them to the gate and get them on and know that, you know, my parents or my wife's family could be at the gate to greet them.
Yep.
It's cake. It's like you're on a plane. You know, it's not like you can get out and get lost.
Right, right. Yeah, if you stand there until they call the plane and you watch them walk down the ramp and get on the plane, and then somebody's waiting at the gate to pick them up on the other end, then you know. In fact, people used to do that. I remember people doing that with kids all the time. It was not uncommon at all to see, especially like on Southwest, you'd see kids, unaccompanied minors, on the plane because they're doing the divorced kid shuffle, you know, from one part of the state to the other. And it was, you know, they just did it all the damn time. And they'd have like a little note pinned to them or something like that, you know, or whatever. You know, now you literally can't do that.
Oh, they have, there's a special term. You can coordinate with the airline to have a, you know, represent, you know, so it's
right. Yeah. Cause that's comforting.
Yeah. Random airline employee, you know, it's just amazing. And we're just as safe now as we were, you know,
We're safer now, but it's not because of the TSA. It's because of the cockpits and the way they've changed the, you know, how they react to shit. But, you know, it's got nothing to do with the stupid-ass TSA. Hey, Reedy, you want to rant about the TSA?
Well, what can I say?
Yeah. Because, you know, amputee bombers are so common.
Right.
So common that's never actually happened ever, and yet they still, you know.
Well, I've been trying to figure out, like, what exactly, like, do they think, like, someone's going to have a leg made out of plastic explosives or weapons hidden in your pylon? Like, what do they think? I don't understand, like, because...
Well, they don't think, so...
I have this conversation all the time, like, with people, like, oh, you could have a gun leg or, like... No, I can't because there's nowhere to put it. There's, you know, prosthetics are designed a certain way to like work a certain way, and they're you know, fitted for your body. It's a very, very specific thing. It's not like, you know, you can just make up, you know, whatever. But so I was thinking, like, what sort of prosthetic are they thinking would be, you know, a danger? And I the only thing I can think of is above the knee amputees. Because there's that whole bottom part, you know, where the calf is, that maybe, like, if it's hollow, like, maybe you could put something in there.
You could make it into a pipe bomb or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But certainly, like, there's nowhere on my leg I can hide weapons or, you know, pack plastics, explosives or, I don't know. The whole thing's really weird. But I had kind of a fun time. Leaving Houston with the TSA, because for me, like, you know, I don't announce that I'm an amputee until like I have to, because it's none of anybody's business and I'm not going to help them do their job. And so I'm standing in line waiting to go through the scanner thing, and the guy saw that maybe there was like a backup at the scanner thing. So he was sending some people through the metal detector. And so he motions for me to go through the metal detector. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I know it's going to go off. Right. So, I walk through, beep, and he stops and he goes, okay, go back through. And I walked back through, beep, beep, beep. And I went through like two or three times. And he stops me, like after the third beep. And he stops me and says, do you have like a belt on or like something in your pockets? And I, and at this point, I had walked back into the metal detector. And I'm standing right where the beep is. And so it's just beeping, like this really long beep. And I said, no, I'm wearing a prosthetic leg. And he's like, well, you could have told me that. I said, you didn't ask. Like, I'm not offering information to you. You know, I'm not doing your job.
You're not my supervisor.
You fucking figure it out. You know, I don't want to be here. Have you, you know, scanning me and groping me. And you know what is really weird? Because when I go through that scanner thing, the body scanner thing, and they show you a little picture of, you know, the areas of concern on your body. And there's always like, you know, a big yellow block on my leg. They have to check the leg and whatever. But I really think that they, and I don't know. Like, I think sometimes it just shows random things. Like, it always shows my leg, but like when I went through the TSA in Cleveland, it showed my leg and then an area on my chest. And I'm very, you know, I'm very cautious not to wear underwire bras or anything like that, metal, because I don't want my boobs groped. You know what I mean? So, but there was like an area on my chest. And so, of course, the girl had to like do the whole boob grope thing. And then leaving Houston, of course, it had the leg and whatever, but it also had the top of my head.
What?
I know. And I'm thinking, it's just my hair. It's not like I have a metal plate in my head or anything. And I really think it's randomized. I think the machine randomly adds places for them to check.
Well, but you know what?
Because I was wearing the same exact bra both times, and it only signaled the bra the first time.
Going to be a difference in the equipment.
So, I don't know.
See, now it's funny because I always get something in my armpit.
What?
Apparently I sweat acid or something because they're all fuck you right here. And they're like reaching under my armpit. And I'm like, dude, you want to reach there? Go be my guest. I'm going to let you because you're going to have to go home at night and scrub that off. Ha!
Your armpit. That's really weird.
Yeah, you know, well, because especially it's especially poignant because, you know, I get to the airport early because they tell you to.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather wait in the airport past security than, you know, than at my house.
Right.
So I'll get there and I'll like park in the furthest point away and get my steps in, show up like mm-hmm. nice. And then I walk at the terminal like five or six times to get, you know, more steps in. I get on that plane. I'm just ripe. I don't want conversation with anyone. I'm like, I want you to go away. Talk to you. No, I'm not going to tell you where I'm going.
That's funny.
That's me. Antisocial. I'm like, nope. Nope. I'm going to do work. Nope. Nope. Got my headphones in. Nope.
I think the headphones is a good signal. Do not speak to me.
Well, it also makes it easy to ignore people, you know, because you can pretend like you didn't hear them.
Yeah, that's true.
If all else fails, I start speaking in Klingon.
do the crazy eye thing and start stroking your beard, you know. Then they'll probably think you're a terrorist.
Your hide will make a fine poncho. Oh,
speaking of beards, I saw Alan's beard in person.
I've heard it's impressive.
It's an excellent beard.
Seen pictures, but I don't believe they do it justice.
It is excellent.
It's just face fur.
Well, I know, but it suits you and it's very nice. It's very plush.
It's pretty plush. Is it, Brita, I have to ask. Is it as butt soft as the hair on his head?
Oh, for fuck's sake. It is not, I don't think. Although he does use like a number of like beard condiments. You know, he's got the beard oil and the beard butter and the beard brush and the, you know, the whole thing.
So mm-hmm. you've got the full beard smorgasbord going on.
He does. Yep.
They're like, are there, do like birds fly in the open windows to help pull up?
Yes, damn it.
In the background. Your woodland friends help you.
And when it gets long enough, I'm going to braid it and hang Christmas ornaments in the fucker.
Yes.
I'm already planning on weaving cordite into mine. So.
There you go. Oh, do like, what was it Blackbeard used to do? He would put slow match in his beard so it'd have smoke all around his head all the time.
That's a look.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
Plus it smells good.
It's modern homeless, you know.
You get it can get those little tiny Christmas lights for your beard.
Oh God, no!
Yeah, there's
now I know what to get you. I know what to get everybody for Christmas now.
Oh gosh.
Nope.
I have been toying with dyeing it red.
Oh, what? That's
funny.
I just did because it'd be weird.
Oh, okay.
I got like this.
Going on, so anything else happened this week?
Oh, there were a couple of things.
Jesus.
The Democratic Party continues its inexorable march into absolute absurdity.
It really is insane.
The only thing I can think of is they know the economy's headed for a crash. It's not going to happen in the next year or so.
Hmm.
So you better Trump get reelected and get blamed for it than whoever the Democrat is. It's the only possible explanation for the, I don't even know what to call this field. You've just got this, it's everybody.
Well, but, and they're also pushing truly insane policies. God.
They're going like they're trying to, usually they will try to crowd the center, but this is like, how far left can we get? Infanticide is totally cool. And oh, reparations. And it's just nuts. Well, buy Bernie the fifth house, you know.
The one I love is the most recent. Do you see the bill for, what was it? The Equality Act. Every House Democrat but one has co-sponsored a bill that would require schools nationwide to allow male athletes who identify as transgender girls to compete on female sports teams. And, I mean, that's just nuts right off the bat. However, their Equality Act would amend the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to make sexual orientation and gender identity protected classes under the federal anti-discrimination law. So we'll ignore all the other bullshit that would instantly drag out and make, you know, official law. But the one thing they're focusing on is this female athletic teams. And several people are quoted saying just ridiculous things like opponents of equality in athletics for transgender athletes have argued that girls who are transgender have unfair psychological advantages over cisgender girls and as a result will dominate women's competitive sports. This is
not psychological, Alan.
Oh, physiological.
Physiological.
Well, yeah, probably okay. Psychological too. You never know.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're saying that it's not rooted in fact that biologically male athletes will outperform their female counterparts.
Right. What? In clear, you defying the fact that there are male and female sports.
Right. And that's
tells
exactly.
You that separate the two.
That's
that there
why
is
they
a,
exist.
You know, like, you fucking nitwit. Do you know why there are no female NBA players? Because they would get destroyed. There's no female defensive ends in the NFL because they don't have the muscle mass and the bone structure.
Yeah.
This is
another,
and you push it away all you want. It ain't gonna happen, Chief.
Yeah. Another nitwit says that arguments about transgender athletes participating in sports in accordance with their gender identity having competitive advantages are not have not been borne out, which is ridiculous because they're borne out every single fucking time it happens.
Right.
Ask the women's national soccer team how they fared against the high school. It's not even high school. The oldest, I think the oldest boy on that team was like a freshman in high school. So these are like middle school soccer players, and they just trounced the women's national team.
Yeah, it wasn't like a 1-0. Like they
It was like 5-3 or something. It was, you know, but still,
victory.
These are a bunch of middle school kids playing against the number one women's soccer team in the world.
There's no difference.
Right.
You are ignoring basic biology.
It's ridiculous.
You know that apparently now biology is a social construct.
Well, yeah.
And if we think real hard, we can fly. They are Peter fucking Pan, folks. If you believe hard enough, you can fly. Gravity is just a social construct from the evil white male patriarchy.
Yeah. Oh, what was the one recently? Somebody said time. Time was a white male racist construct.
How can that be? It's a social.
Time, yeah.
Remember that time because, you know, it was unfair to expect black people to show up on time.
And it's what was it? At any moment, black people are reliving his slavery or something.
Yeah,
and
yeah, some
black people are time travelers, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know. Time does not move linearly for black people was the argument.
Yeah.
That sounds like a crazy person.
They, you know, somebody should alert the physicists and tell them they have walking causality paradoxes.
Yes, it just moves differently because of your, you know, the color of your skin. Yes, that makes total sense. It's not that you're racist in and of yourself.
Right.
Oh, we can't expect to hold those dumb brown people to the same standards as the rest of us. I mean, that's what you're saying.
That's exactly what they're saying.
You know, we have to help them because they don't know any better. It's like, fuck you.
Well, I think the lady was black, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't explain it.
It's, yeah. Oh, and our favorite lawyer. Michael Avenatti.
Yes, yes. This just gets better and better.
In addition to being under indictment in New York for trying to defraud Nike.
No, not defraud. Extort.
Extort, yeah, okay. Yeah,
right. He has been
indicted on 36 counts by a federal grand jury in California. That accuses him of ripping off clients, including a mentally ill paraplegic, for millions of dollars, shorting the IRS of millions more, swiping millions of dollars in employment taxes from his coffee company, and perjury.
Yes, yes.
He could go to jail for 300 years.
Oh my God!
He won a judgment for his client.
Yeah.
Pocketed the cash, and told them that they lost the case.
Yeah.
And remember, this was the guy who was going to bring Trump down.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, he was going to run for president, right?
And the Trump presidency. And Avenatti is seriously considering a run for president in 2020. Oh, yeah, about that.
And he was like the darling of CNN for a while, right?
Oh, yes. They trotted him out for all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
We've all seen the video of the mainstream media talking about how Trump's collusion with Russia was a turning point and, you know, was about to go big, blah, blah, blah. Avenatti was on that like a dozen times.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Apparently they had to get him on quickly before he goes to jail for the rest of his life.
Which is funny because, you know, when you're going to trot somebody out as, you know, some sort of talking head on your channel, you'd think you want to do a little bit of background investigation, right?
No, because Orange Man bad, Alan. Come on.
I mean, he literally stole $4 million from the mentally ill paraplegic client and then hid a $2.7 million settlement for another client.
Right.
He stole the money from his clients.
He's every horrible caricature of a slimy lawyer.
Oh, he is. And yet he was the darling of CNN.
Of course,
because like you say, because Orange Man bad.
Right. And yet again, thank you, you fucking piece of shit, for promulgating the idea that bald men are evil. Fuck you.
Well, bald lawyers are definitely evil, Jay.
Well, yeah, they're doubly evil.
So he's charged with 10 counts of wire fraud, 19 tax-related offenses, 2 counts of bank fraud, 4 counts of bankruptcy fraud. The bankruptcy counts relate to allegedly false statements that Avenatti filed in connection with bankruptcy of his law firm, accused him of defrauding a legal client by looting a $1.6 million civil settlement, defrauding a Mississippi bank by using a bogus federal income tax fund to receive a $4 million loan. I mean, he's a con man, and he's a con man with a law degree. And so, yeah, now he's under federal. He's a bicoastal federal indictee.
Nice. Okay. He'll be tried in Chicago and they'll drop all charges.
I bet Stormy Daniels has her own issues, but boy, did she pick a good lawyer. She's been ordered by a judge in Los Angeles to pay Trump's attorneys $300,000 in legal fees.
Wow. She better get to stripping.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of $2 bills, ain't it?
We have a president that gets paid by hookers. I mean, damn. I'm tired of winning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, I can't.
There was a lot of rage inducement this past week. First of all, the mainstream media is paddling furiously to keep Joe Biden relevant.
Mm.
USA Today leading the charge with their claim that where they explained how Joe Biden's really not a creepy old man. He's just. He's old school, which was one of my favorite, you know, like, what? Hold on a second here. And like to illustrate, they show him like. He looks like he's slow dancing with Angela Merkel.
Ew.
And he's like got a full wrap around her and her hands are on the edge of his shoulders. And she's like, get me away from this friggin' creep. And USA Today, the headline, Joe Biden's physicality is a mark of old school politicians, not a creepy old man.
And you've seen people that Merkel's cozied up to. So for her to not like you, you got to be a real sleazeball.
And okay, so for starters, they lead with the boys will be boys, which is, let's go back and do projection. We hear this all the time. From the left and the social justice warriors, that we can't accept that boys will be boys anymore. You know, it was right. All. Yeah, that was the big thing that people had problem with the fucking Gillette ad. You know, oh, boys will be boys, just won't cut it anymore. But oh, Joe Biden, he's an old school politician. It's a fucking variation of boys will be boys.
And, you know, all the people that got caught up in the Me Too thing are going, fuck Joe Biden.
Yeah. Oh, I should have just said I'm an old school movie maker. Yeah. Done. There we go. Bill Cosby, I'm an old school comedian.
Yep.
Not, again, he's not a creepy old man. if you have to tell people, if your used car dealership is Honest Bill's Used Cars, that guy is going to try to rape you three ways to Sunday.
Yeah, if you got all the media trying to tell you all the ways that you're not a creepy fuck, you're a creepy fuck.
Right. Right. You know, if you have to tell people you're something.
Yeah.
Let me be honest with you. Oh, yeah. So you've been lying to me up till now.
Yeah.
And they're just, oh, you know, I think, and when I say think, I hope, the mainstream media is looking at this, you know, you've got Ralph, infanticide is A-okay with me, Northam. You've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who I'm afraid she's going to go back to her home planet before she can run for president. You've got, you know, Kamala, sleep your way to the top, Harris. Who else is running? And you've got fake Indian Warren. You've got fake Hispanic Beto. Like, the rest of this, it's you could not write a book, a fictional book that had these characters in it, because people would be like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
They wouldn't believe it. You had this cast of characters. Joe Biden is right out of central casting.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Creepy old man.
Yep.
Oh, he's always, every time he appears in public, he's grabbing some woman and smelling.
Mommy, don't make me hug creepy Uncle Joe. He makes me.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to sit in his lap.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
You've got this, like, you know, Cory Booker. What the fuck is Cory Booker's claim to fame?
He's bald.
Yeah, I'm like, he's Spartacus. That, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going down the list. There's 18 Democrats.
Well, what's funny is there are no Democrats who can beat Trump.
Oh, how did I forget Bernie Sanders? Who, by the way, isn't even a Democrat, but he's running for the Democratic nation. Nobody could explain it to me in 16. Nobody's going to explain.
How does that 20. Work?
How does it work that a guy who is a proud independent,
not a member of your party, how can he run for
your nominee?
Yeah,
I do like to remind people that, you know, Bernie Sanders did not hold a fucking job until his 40s. This is the guy who wants to run the fucking country. He could not run his adult life, and now he owns 3 houses.
How does that happen?
You know, he's never worked. He's never worked a legitimate job in his life. He's only been a politician.
And he's a socialist.
He has been a politician for the same amount of time I have been in the workforce.
Well, you know.
That's a frightening. Actually, less time.
So what you're saying is Bernie Sanders is the old school version of that YouTube girl who cried about not wanting to get a real job.
Now I'm gonna really date myself with this reference. Bernie Sanders is Maynard G. Krebs.
He is. He totally is, Jay.
You're gonna have to explain it to Brita because the young one doesn't get it.
No, I don't get it. What?
Back before Gilligan was Gilligan, he was Maynard G. Krebs on the Dobie Gillis show, and he was what would you say? He wasn't a hippie. He was like the pre-hippie. Yeah, he was a beatnik. He was what the lazy slackers were before they were hippies.
He was a beatnik. He had a goatee, and he played the bongos. He wore the oversized sweatshirts. Yeah. He was like, you can't own property, man.
Yeah. All right, Ty, drink.
Right there, Bernie Sanders.
Yep.
He got old. He moved to Vermont.
Yeah.
Maynard G. Krebs got old, moved to Vermont. Now he's running for president as Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, who sounds like the ant in the old anteater cartoon. The anteater in the anteater cartoons. Ant, I'm going to eat you.
The first time I heard Bernie Sanders' voice, I was shocked.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, is that his actual, I mean, and I'm not, you know, making fun of New York accents or whatever, but I was like, holy crap. Who wants to listen to that for 4 years? I certainly don't.
It's almost like Yogi. Hey, boo boo.
Yeah.
But Yogi. But Bernie, people aren't going to buy socialism. Hey, oh, if they don't like it, boo boo, fuck them.
What is wrong?
We're hungry.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. I want to see the bottom of my bowl. It is the time when you stop talking to the people in the box and feed
them. Did you all see the article recently? I think it was an AP article where they said about, is it Beto or Beto?
Beto.
Well, anyway.
Robert Francis.
Yeah.
Yeah. That he was speaking in his native Spanish.
Yeah.
Nice.
He does. Yeah. They're really trying.
I don't know.
I think he has like kind of shot his wad.
I like that at a
Beto, I think it's over for him.
At a Beto O'Rourke rally, the little millennial shit who is there to see Beto didn't recognize him in the men's room.
Yeah. Are you here for the Beto rally?
You're here to see Beto, too. Like, you have no clue.
That's got to be, like, so fucking embarrassing for Beto, you know? It's like, the dude doesn't even recognize you. You know, he's...
Are you here to see him, too?
First off, he's in the toilet with, like, the people.
Oh, yes.
So. He's establishing his cred. I wonder if he skateboarded into the bathroom.
While wearing his furry costume.
Yeah. Yes, and skating on a drunk driving charge.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, see, my favorite thing is if you
talk about white privilege, right?
You go from Democrat to Republican, all of a sudden he's the son of a rich white, he's the white son of a rich white judge who got off on serious crimes that other people would have gone to jail for because of his white privilege. And all you have... Instead, he gets away with pretending to be Hispanic, and he's dreamy, and you know women are dropping their panties at as campaign appearances.
Ew. For him? Ew.
Well, there's a little poetic license, but
well, plus you know Democrats. I mean, come on.
Well, he's the next Kennedy. I mean, you look. Of course, the real ironic part is that, you know, John F. Kennedy would be a radical right-wing Republican today. I mean, he was an NRA member. He lowered taxes. He hated communists. Oh, my God. They would be like, this guy is once he's worse than Hitler.
Well, there does seem to be like what's going on in the, you know, all these Democrats running for president, they're having like purity tests, you know, like who's the most liberal, who is the most progressive, who, you know, how they're going to doom themselves, I think, you know, because middle America, it doesn't fly, you know, they lecture everybody about white privilege and they, you know, this and that. And some, you know, guy in Wisconsin is like, I'm not privileged. I don't have white privilege. I go out every day and I bust my ass to, you know, feed my family. How is that privilege? Like, it's not going to fly, I don't think. And I think it really is indicative of the bubble they're all in, you know, not only the Washington bubble, but they're in this like echo chamber of Twitter and their, you know, their hangers on and, you know, whatever. So,
yeah, there was a, somebody did a study or something where they looked at the Twitter Democrats versus the, you know, Democrats in general.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that the Twitter Democrats were far more liberal and leftist than like the regular Democrats. So I don't know. We'll see. You know, what they're saying, that over 50% of Hispanics or, you know, the legal ones are Trump supporters now. And Trump's also making huge inroads in the African American
community. Yeah, that's why they think everybody's floating these reparation ideas, because they're afraid, like, oh God, you know, well, what I I posted that article. I don't know if you read it. It was kind of long, but Victor Davis Hanson was saying that, you know, that's his theory, that all these people are coming out talking about reparations because they're trying to get out the black vote the right. same way Obama did. You know, Obama, exactly. the black vote for Obama was astronomical. And in the same way, I'm sure the Irish vote was astronomical for Kennedy, you know. But and their concern now is that if they don't get out the black vote, they're going to lose because black voters are starting to take a look at Trump and be like, hey, this guy's, you know, not so bad. Well, and I've got a job. And yeah,
black unemployment's the lowest it's ever been, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting how, you know, and Alan, you were there too. Rita was there, but she's probably too young to remember. Bill Clinton's reelection. It was things are, you know, the economy's going so great. We couldn't possibly elect anyone other than Bill Clinton because the economy. It's the economy, stupid. He wrote in because, you know, oh, the economy's horrible and George Bush raised taxes and this and that. And he's doing such a great job. And you can't impeach someone when the economy's good. Economy. Now it's like things are booming, going great. And it's like, collusion. Oh, wait, hold on. That was conclusively proven to be fake. Orange man bad. It's right. really what they revert to. You know, the MAGA hat is a symbol of racism and oppression. You know, fuck you. Yeah, keep that up. Keep that up.
Yeah.
Keep pushing that. You know what? More videos of unhinged fucking leftist douchebags attacking old men for wearing a hat.
Mm-hmm.
You are the very fucking textbook definition of fascist. Plain and simple. If you attack someone, physically assault them and drive them out of a building because of the political side they support, you are the very worst essence of the fucking Trotskyite, the Stalinites, for Christ's sake, out of Soviet Russia.
Well, that's what they want to be, Jay. You call them that, they'll be, yeah, right on, fight the power, man. That's, you know, that's what they want to be. Except,
eventually, that's...
Of course, you know what happened to the Trotskyites, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They were shot.
They were on the wall. Oh, that's right. How could I forget one of the other Democrats running? Duke Nukem.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Saul.
Yeah, Let's remind our listeners
that this is the man who threatened to use nuclear weapons against Americans because they own firearms.
He's decided to run for president.
Yes, and his modest proposal, you can keep your guns, but we're going to take all of those evil semi-automatic rifles.
No, he says assault weapon. His tweet is actually, that's why I'm the only candidate proposing that we ban and buy back every single assault weapon in this nation. Now, we'll just ignore the fact that he can't define what the hell an assault weapon is.
Because it's made up.
Right, but the whole ban and buy back, where's that money coming from? Because it doesn't exist.
You know what each of my assault weapons is worth? $10 million. Prove me wrong.
Yeah, you're not gonna set that price. They're gonna say, here, you get $100 or some, you get a gift card or whatever. That's what they do.
Gift card. You get a vanilla Visa gift card that nobody accepts anywhere. Like, oh man, this is the fucking Diners Club of gift cards. What the hell?
Diners Club. Does that still exist?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder if there's a Diners Club. It's like Discover, but worse.
do people still take Discover? Does that Discover still exist?
I don't know.
Diners Club still exists.
Club International.
It does.
Wow.
They're MasterCards, though.
Oh.
is people ask, is Diners Club and Discover the same? Like, I canceled mine because I never used it.
Your Discover?
Yeah. I got it. I got it many, many years ago because it was the only credit card that Sam's Club took.
Oh, yeah. Back in the old days.
Yeah, like a million years ago. This is like before. This is before the earth cooled. If you're a millennial, ask right. your parents.
Yeah, it's because they didn't charge the merchants the fees that Visa and MasterCard did or some bullshit like that.
Mm. Had one because we literally lived across the street from a Sam's Club. So, we did a lot of shopping there. You buy in bulk and you save money. And I wasn't about to carry, hundreds of dollars in cash. And you go over once a month, buy, a whole bunch of staples and whatnot.
The 48 pack of toilet paper or something.
God, yes. I like 10. My favorite is probably the 8-pack of spaghetti. It's like $8. They always have coupons. So it's like $6 for a box for 8 boxes of spaghetti.
Good God. How many Italians are you feeding, Jay?
Well, no, but you have one, it was just my wife and I. It was like, one box was plenty for us with leftovers. Throwing a little bit of sauce, a jar of sauce is $2. For $3, less than $3, get a meal for two.
Wait, you're Italian and you're eating sauce out of a jar?
So, why? God. Because I'm a fucking lazy Italian. That's why.
Your grandmother's rolling, spinning in her grave.
Oh my God, hook up a voltmeter to a man. Oh, they're like, oh, fuck wind, fuck solar. We're going to hook up we're putting dielectric motors on his grandma in her grave.
Every dead grandparent in the nation is going nuts right now. What are you people doing?
You ate gravy out of a jar. What have I done? What have I done to deserve this?
Forget all the politics and all that kind of shit.
I'm like, nope, I'm lazy. When I come home from work, I just want to boil up water, make spaghetti, and put gravy in a jar on it. Done.
Do you have a specific brand you buy, Jay?
Classico is actually pretty good.
That's what I get. That's the one that comes in the
In the ball jar.
In what I call my water glasses.
Fancy drinking glasses.
Yeah, my fancy drinking glasses. Yeah, you know why they're fancy drinking glasses?
Because you can cap them like a sippy cup.
Because they're glass.
They're not red plastic.
That's right.
It's one of those, why do we have pasta so much? It's because it's cheap. That's why we have pasta so much. It's dirt cheap. Well, I mean, simply the fact that I would buy pasta in a box and not make it myself.
Oh, the horror.
Come on. You're not actually rolling it out and running it through the hand crank. An electric one is a tool of the devil.
My 1% Italian genetic history is appalled at you, Jay.
All that stuff. Like I said, I'm lazy.
So. Okay, so we're almost out of time.
Oh, okay.
But I wanted to ask Jay. I saw today that Smith & Wesson has a new revolver out, the 610 in 10 millimeter.
10 millimeter.
It's an in-frame yet.
Yes, it is.
And holy smokes, that's a good looking revolver. And it makes me like want another revolver really bad. So
I will never.
Have they let you shoot it yet?
I don't believe we've gotten one in. Oh. But again, it's a 40-ounce revolver. I'm sure it'll be fine. 10 millimeters.
Oh, yeah. It'll be like shooting 22s out of that thing.
Yeah, well, it'll be like a 357. Yeah. 357 out of an L frame. It's noticeable, but it's not punishing by any stretch. It's what's really neat. I think this is really cool.
Was it more for hunting or?
Yeah, that's what they're gearing it toward. Is like hunting, okay. And stuff like that.
Honestly, you know, I view it as like a, this is a, it's a good choice for like, you know, if you're hiking in bear country.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's, you really, know, it's good for that.
You 10 millimeter is very powerful, and there's a lot of really good rounds for it in that realm. You know, the revolver, pretty foolproof, and it's just, you know, what I like is you can also shoot 40 Smith & Wesson in it.
Yes, you can. So it's like the 357-38 thing all over again.
Exactly. So I'm proposing, this is my modest proposal, rename both cartridges.
Oh.
Be 10 millimeter Magnum, and 40 would become 10 millimeter Smith & Wesson Special.
That's, I like that. Do they make it? Does somebody make a 10 millimeter lever action carbine? Because that would be awesome.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm trying to think. I don't know of one, but I know
they make. You know, they make like 357 and 44 Magnum. And...
I'm trying to think because where it's rimless.
Yeah, that's going to be an issue.
I mean, I'm sure it can be done. I'm sure somebody can do it. But, you know, most of your levers are right. Rimmed cartridges, or at least some, like 30-30. But,
right.
And we're like totally gun nerding Breed out. And
what no, you I'm could listening.
Do, what you could do, however, is you could run a carbine that takes Glock 20 mags.
Ooh.
That would kind of be cool. And then you've got, you know, your revolver that takes the same ammo.
Yeah.
You know, a 30 round carb, I guess 26 is the biggest magazine. I'm such a geek.
But that would be great because 10 millimeter in a rifle is a much better. It's kind of like the 357 in a rifle. It's
yeah.
Because yeah. It gives the longer barrel actually gives the powder time to burn. Unlike, you know, the 2.5 inch barrel. It's
you but you can barbecue with it. So yeah. You know, there's just nice. But yeah, you get a 16-inch carbine. You get all the velocity out of it. You get the yeah. Best expansion out of a hollow point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's a good thing. It is a good thing. So, anywho, I'm a big fan. I will never try to dissuade someone from buying a Smith & Wesson revolver because they're awesome. I'm a big fan. Keep the wheel guns going. I'm an old man. I like wheel guns.
I like them for like backpacking and out in the woods and stuff like that because, you know, there's the they're foolproof and simple and, you know if you need to shoot a snake or shoot a bear or shoot something, you know, it's right there. You don't have to futz around with it.
A lot less to go wrong.
You're not gonna get you know, Smith & Wesson revolver leg. Like, you know, might get a Glock leg or something. So,
plus they're pretty. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, like the stainless revolver, man. You out in the weather, out hiking or whatever, you don't have to worry about it.
And if you need to, you can beat someone to death with it.
That's true. So. You can hammer in your tent stakes with it.
It's crazy funky.
Pound your meat. What are you doing? I'm tenderizing my steak.
Tenderizing the bear steaks. Duh. Yeah. Kill it and grill it.
With the special waffle grip. Okay.
All right. I think we've had our share.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
Only
until next week.
Yeah. Until next week. That's right. Oh,
yes.
I was going to mention that I'm still thinking about a shirt for this year. I don't know. I haven't been struck with any brilliant ideas.
So. I have a squirrel with a black hole for an eye.
Oh my God. A black hole.
Telling you. Or alternately, it could be the black hole could be a cat's butt. I'm just
yeah, saying. That's already been done.
Oh. Maybe a squirrel butt.
Oh,
a
squirrel. No. Oh God, no! Come on, this is going to be on a shirt people have to wear.
No, true. Yeah, but these are our people.
Yeah, that's true. They'd probably like a squirrel butt.
Immediately identified.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, we'll think about it.
We're still thinking about it. So, And if you want one of the old shirts, you could still get one. They're on.
Yeah. Still available.
They're still there. We don't make any money off it. Well, we make, what is it, 5 cents or something off each one, because there's literally no way to do it for less. I couldn't do it for nothing. So the money, it just sits there. I don't know. I think we're up to like 20 or 30 bucks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It just sits there.
And that's it. It's time to buy the Ferrari.
Yeah. Anyway.
Go buy yourself some brisket.
Yeah. Y'all have a good weekend, and we'll be back next week.
Okay. Next week, squirrel time, same squirrel place.
That's right. Bye.
Good night, everybody.